I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 251. Wow, our weary traveler is back.
Yes, I am weary. It was a very busy week in Salt Lake City, but a wonderful week. Seeing lots of sellers and saw some folks in the Salt Lake City office I hadn't seen in 3 years as well.
No, that's good. I wish I could have gone. We'll talk more about that in a minute.
Well, who's our guest this week, Griff?
Brian, I'm glad you asked, because this week, as I mentioned last week, we were supposed to talk to Valerie Yee about how eBay handles code rollouts and reports from sellers about possible code bugs. But we had to reschedule that interview for next week. So instead, I'll be calling up an old friend of ours and many of our sellers as we connect with our previous host on the old eBay radio program, Lee Mirabal.
Great. It'll be great to hear from Lee.
It will. And we're going to find out what Lee's been up to since her retirement in 2018.
2018? Was it that long ago already? I guess it was.
5 years.
That's right. August of 18 is when this particular program kicked off.
I was devastated when she said she was going to retire, but, you know, I couldn't have expected her to work until she was 100. That would be unfair.
Yeah, kind of mean.
She's kept busy, so we're going to catch up with her. I know a lot of our old eBay radio audience listens to this show, and maybe they'd be interested. So it's not about selling this week. We're just going to shoot the breeze with Lee, but we do have some stuff to talk about.
And I assume we have questions to answer, I hope.
And answer correctly, right? Because we don't want to stand corrected. We have questions on topics, Brian, like local pickup. We have a question on how to handle a refund for a late delivery, and a question about how to report a possible abusive buyer and how to keep up to 50% of your sale proceeds for returns that may have been abusive. But first, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I thought you might give us an update on your visit with sellers in Salt Lake City last week. So how did it go?
It went really well. You know me, I delight in engaging with our seller community, and whether it's at their locations or at an event. And Allison Engels on the team did a great job in setting up an event for seller visits. We all got tasked, and there were a number of eBay employees who had the opportunity to go visit a number of sellers in the Salt Lake City area. And that's always fascinating because you kind of see how a seller operates and what kind of issues they confront. And some of them are really big and some of them are kind of more moderate size, and it kind of takes all kinds. And then on Wednesday evening, we had a seller panel for the eBay employees. And then that evening, starting at 5, we had kind of a seller get together, like a big seller meeting where Adam Ireland and Jowdy and Rebecca all spent a few minutes presenting, and then took some questions from 75 plus sellers, I think, who were there before going in and just kind of networking and mingling with the sellers for another couple hours. So really, really positive energy and great experience.
Any takeaways that stick in your mind?
Well, there's some common themes that come up. Obviously, shipping's on top of people's mind because of all the shipping changes. Unpaid item continues to come up, and I think we're making some nice inroads there with best offer, but it's still a pain point with sellers. And then I think returns. And then one thing for me that kind of surprised me, this came up more in the seller visits as opposed to the networking session, but the seller visits, it seemed like how eBay International Shipping actually operates and works, and the fact that eBay takes the returns, that message hasn't gotten through yet, it seems.
Yes.
So opportunity for us to continue to pound that home that EIS is a really good option if you want to sell it internationally.
I'm just thinking, maybe it's time for a service announcement.
Maybe.
Okay, next week I'll set aside time. I'll write the scripts, find the background music so it sounds hokey and corny like stuff I do tends to be. And we'll do a service announcement both for eBay International Shipping, and I thought maybe we should do one on Seller Hub. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I'm a big proponent of Seller Hub, and I don't think, there's probably some new listeners out there who may be unfamiliar.
It'll be a good opportunity. We still have the one in the can that I haven't played for 6 months, which is the one for help and contact. We need to be pushing that as well. I get a lot of questions from sellers, and I'm glad we get them because we can use them on the episodes. But really, if you wanted a quick answer, you can find the answer to a lot of the questions that you send in to us right on the help page at eBay. It's pretty robust, lots of content. We got a question this week that we're going to talk about when it comes to, 50% refunds. You can withhold 50%. All of that information is on the help page. We'll talk about how to find it.
I'll give another plug for community. There are lots of sellers out there willing to also give you advice, whether it's the Ask a Mentor forum or just in the standard selling forum. You can toss a question out there, and it's amazing how giving eBay sellers are.
I'm not going to say where, but I'm the lurker in several groups outside of eBay, and I think the owners and the participants are well-meaning, but I'm always a little bit concerned about the lack of accuracy to some of the answers. I know that sometimes our answers aren't accurate either. We have to issue We Stand Corrected.
I hope we don't have a We Stand Corrected this week, do we?
No, we'll have one next week. So we had one, but I'm going to hold it off for a week. And it's a really, how do I say it? It's butt-clenchingly bad. That's how bad it is. And it's something that is totally my fault because I should have caught this. But I thought, I'm not going to do two in a row. It's just too embarrassing. So next week, we'll have a We Stand Corrected.
So our poor listeners are out there going off of wrong information for an extra week.
It's not that it's wrong.
Okay.
It's that it's wrong.
Oh, now I'm going to talk to you after the recording to find out what it was that we said.
So here's the thing about it being wrong, the information, is that there's no way to do it right. So you're not going to make a mistake. You're going to run into an obstacle. And it's an obstacle that's there as part of this particular service. And I'm not going to tell you because I want you to tune in next week to listen to what it's going to be.
Tune in for a new feature from eBay.
And our seller, David, who sent it in, and David is so patient with me because our back and forth, I continued to miss what he was telling me. And what he was telling me was what I was telling him wasn't right because I wasn't getting it. And finally, I read through the email closely and I went, oh, no, I missed this. I missed it. Oh, dear. So we'll have a correction next week. This week, we're going to be correction free. How's that?
I hope David sent you an address so we can send him something.
Oh, yeah. I'll find his address. David, send me your address if you haven't sent it before. Okay, let's get to the news.
We do have some news indeed. Due to unprecedented regional flooding in the Northeast, many homes and businesses have been impacted. Our primary concern is that you and your close ones stay safe. However, you may also be concerned about shipping delays for items already shipped or difficulties getting sold items to your carrier. If your business is impacted, eBay will automatically protect your seller performance, including your late shipment rate, your valid tracking upload rate, item not received cases due to late delivery, as long as you've uploaded tracking before the case was opened and have a physical scan from the carrier, defects resulting from transactions you canceled, or continue to make necessary adjustments to delivery date estimates so that your buyers have accurate expectations. We will also remove any associated negative and neutral feedback, and these cases will not impact your service metrics ratings.
And this is our standard operating procedure for any natural disaster. I have to mention here, by the way, because I've been following it both on the news and on YouTube, the videos that people are uploading, because my old home state of Vermont, where I spent 25 plus years of my life, was hit really hard. And in fact, the flooding there has been rated as the worst in centuries, with catastrophic damages in some places, like the capital of the state, Montpelier. And I've seen lots of video from a ski town that we used to drive through all the time. It's Ludlow by Okemo Mountain. And the damage is really horrific. It's widespread. It covers roads, bridges, businesses, and homes. Some places, people can't get out or get in. It's just a mess. And I know that as we're recording this weekend, they're expecting more severe storms and rain. So our thoughts are with you, and we want everyone to stay safe.
Definitely.
Now, let's reconnect with an old friend. For those of you who've been following the progress of our eBay audio history, you may have been around, or you may have heard of, you may actually even remember that we used to have something called eBay Radio, which started in 2002, and that lasted for 15 years. But our wonderful host and producer decided that at one point she would retire. So she let me know that she was going to retire in 2018. And of course, we keep in touch, but I haven't really had Leon as a podcast guest to find out how she's doing. So, welcome, please, to our podcast, the owner of Voice Marketing Radio. And I think now you're going to change that, Lee?
Yes, I'm going to sell the domain name voicemarketing.com. And I own all the voice marketing dots, this and that. And I'm going to sell it because now that I'm semi-retired, I don't really need it. So I changed my little company from being a corporation to being a mom and pop thing. sole proprietorship, husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's voiceoverlee.com now.
There you go, voiceoverlee. So we were talking last week. We keep in touch, Lee and I. And we were talking about what's been going on in her life. And she had something interesting happen recently. And I thought it would be of interest both to people who remember you, which is a large part of our audience, and maybe some new listeners who aren't familiar with the history. Lee, tell us a little bit about your history leading up to eBay Radio in 2002.
Well, I spent 50-something years in radio.
That's not possible. You're not that old.
I was a child voiceover actress.
Okay.
50-something years and did a lot of voiceovers. You know, when you're in the radio business, they ask you to do voiceovers all the time. I mean, the salespeople go out and sell stuff and you put your voice on it. Back in the day, you had an agent. And the agent would call you up, no email, and say, yeah, there's going to be an audition. We want you there at 3 o'clock. And you would go audition for this company and you'd either get it or you wouldn't. So that's how you did it in the old days. You went someplace and you auditioned. Well, when I semi-retired from radio, which was your show.
Our show.
The last 15 years of my career was spent with you and wonderful time we had. But that's another podcast, right? Now, it's much easier, sort of. You put your demo tape up on different sites that cater to voice actors. And if you are a client, you're an eBay seller, let's say, and you decide that you want to do an on-hold message to sound more professional for your company, you would go on one of these sites and you would put in kind, caring, whatever. I always get the kind, caring ones, okay?
Of course you would, because you are.
My voice lends itself to that. So you would put these keywords in to say what you were looking for. And then I would come up with thousands of other women. And you would say, I want up to 50 auditions. What you do is they send you a script. And you produce the script and you email it back to them. And they either pick you or they don't. Well, what happened in April was that I got this invitation to audition. And it was from a company in China, which is not unusual in and of itself, got a notice to audition. And along with it, which is the first time that had happened, they sent a sample audio file of what they wanted me to sound like.
That's odd.
It was my voice. And I had never done that commercial. And it was my voice. I played it for John. He said, "Where did you do that?"
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I didn't." And I said, they've cloned my voice. But you know, Griff, I didn't want to tell the world about it because I thought, how egotistical of me to think that somebody would clone my voice.
But it was obviously your voice.
It was obviously me.
No one sounds like you. There's not like a group of people out there that sound like Lee. Lee sounds like Lee.
That's another level of this whole thing. There are some people who are just announcers. And you can substitute one for the other, but there are some things that you cannot substitute. For instance, let me give you an example. Suppose I did a commercial that said, if your loved one needs hospice, it's often a heart-wrenching decision for your family. They're even looking to take AI, artificial intelligence, to another step now in trying to get the soul of you. They want my soul, Chris. They want my soul.
And they don't want to pay you a cent for it, which I find just outrageous. I mean, I would sell my soul, but I'm going to have a price on it.
So I called this particular site that it happened to me on. Excuse me, I didn't call them. I sent them a chat, live chat. And she comes back and she says, well, they're a good company. They've paid other voiceover actors. I'm sure everything's okay. And, you know, I left her thinking, well, it's not okay. I know my voice. They didn't just find some broad somewhere to do this.
Yeah.
I'm the broad with that voice. And it was bothering me and has been bothering me for a couple of months. Well, it turns out that in the month of April, apparently many voiceover actors found the same thing had happened to them. It all started happening a few months ago. And what I worry about, because I'm semi-retired now, Griff, I don't do very many voiceovers anymore. It's not my career. I worry that somebody will use my voice for something awful, like adult content or political.
Yeah, that would be.
Because like you said, there are people who know my voice.
Of course.
I mean, I was in radio all those years, and then the 15 years I did on eBay Radio, people know my voice. So that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, that is really, that's like an episode of Black Mirror.
Which we just decided to start watching.
Oh, dear. Well, you've been deep faked.
Yep.
Well, that's big terrible.
And you know, a lot of movie stars now do voiceovers.
Yeah, a lot of movie stars, yeah.
That started happening in the 1990s. I lost a 10-second thing at the end of a spot. It was only 10 seconds audition in New York City for this financial thing, and I lost it to Kathleen Turner. And of course, Kathleen Turner, in addition to being a movie star, has this wonderful voice.
Deep voice.
I can't fault them for using her, but there was a time when movie stars wouldn't think of doing a commercial.
Yeah.
It was beneath them. But somehow in the 1990s, they changed their mind. And that's okay. I was listening to or watching a video recently, a couple of days ago, with this guy who was talking about this very same subject. And apparently, he's not a voiceover actor because he said, well, it's all movie stars now. Well, let me tell you, it's not. And let me give you some examples. An eBay seller who wants an on-hold message cannot afford Morgan Freeman?
Of course not.
Or James Earl Jones?
Yeah, I mean, who can?
Or Kathleen Turner? Or you just can't. So there's plenty of work out there for someone like me or the other pedestrian voiceover talents out there that aren't movie stars. Also, I'd like to bring up the fact that you can't take an AI to Comic-Con. Many voiceover actors are voices of video games, they're voices of animation, and nobody knows them by sight, but you know them by voice, but they go to Comic-Con because they have fans. AI can't have a fan.
Now, today, who knows?
I know. It's absolutely crazy. And it's not going to, this AI thing is not going to hurt the movie stars and stuff out there. They're still going to get their gigs, but it is going to hurt some of the rest of us. Because if you can go on a site and for $50 get a voice that sounds exactly like me to do your on-hold message, you know, I'm out of a job.
Well, how much would you charge, though? You got to stay competitive.
Well, a simple little voiceover for an eBay seller, I start at $300. If you look at all these auditions that come in, it could be $150. It could be $350. If it's a book, it's more. So that's what's going on right now. And, you know, some movie companies are actually working on AI where they can take the actor who's already done the movie, AI it to the point where they can do a foreign language with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going bonkers. I've always been one to appreciate the new stuff and technology, but this is a little scary.
Yeah, it cuts close to home. New technology, we've always thought, well, you know, it's going to change my job. I remember how eBay 25, 26, 27 years ago disrupted the entire antiques and collectibles business, but didn't end it. It just rearranged it.
It changed it.
It changed it, exactly.
I'll never forget the first time I was at KSDO Radio, and the engineer came in and he said, Lee, we're working on the equipment all day today and through the weekend. So if you have to use this studio, you better use another one. I said, what are you doing? He said, we're switching to digital. I said, that shows you how old I am. I said, what's that? He says, well, your voice is going to go in. And then I said, what are they going to do with my voice? Wait a minute. I was all upset that they were going to change my voice in some way. So I saw that happen. And of course, it was wonderful. I mean, files happened. You know, you could do something. You could send a file by email.
Yeah, it was the end of tape. You didn't have to splice tape anymore.
And I was so good at splicing with that razor blade. Oh, man, you know, never had to use that anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
So I've seen a lot of changes.
This one is scary, though, isn't it?
In so many ways. I have a friend who had that scam happen to her that you've probably heard about, where they call older people and say, your grandson is in Mexico and he's in jail. They were doing that before AI. But now the woman said he sounded exactly like her grandson.
Yeah. And I mean, how would you know? You're going to send off the money and
thousands of dollars she sent.
Yeah. The best way to handle that, of course, is, and for anyone, is if you suspect that the person who's contacted you is not the person who they claim to be, is to hang up and call them. Call the real person. If you can reach them, you know, if you have their phone number, because then that person can tell you, oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, that just happened recently. It was her grandson's voice sounded exactly like him.
I guess I should worry, right? I mean,
You should, because your voice is very, very good, and it's recognizable to hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, dear.
I mean, here's something else that worries me. What if they did it with our politicians? I saw a little bit of that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Our president could be up there, whoever's president at the time, saying something that he or she did not say.
True.
That's scary.
Yep, it is. I like to remember the good old days. We didn't have to worry about this stuff. We just had to worry about, are we going to get any calls today? Are we going to get anyone calling in? Is our guest going to show up?
Or doing a remote in radio and hoping somebody will show up.
For those of you who weren't around for eBay Radio, you could listen to the episodes, but the episodes were not like in a podcast, which is recorded. We basically were on the fly twice a week, but we were pioneers. I mean,
we didn't call it podcasting.
No, that's because the word didn't exist.
It did, but it wasn't well known.
Well, look where we ended up. I mean, amazing. Well, Lee, I wanted to give you a chance to say hello to our new listeners and to the hundreds and thousands of people that remember us from the good old days of eBay Radio.
We had a great, great time. I have to tell the story for the new people.
Okay.
I had started working with this fella in San Diego whose concept was to have radio shows on the internet, only he had never been in radio before.
Mm-hmm.
At first, he hired me as an outside contractor. And on this one particular week, I made a demo for eBay Radio, never dreaming in a million years that eBay would ever call me back. So I faked this thing like I was doing an eBay Radio show. In fact, my voice wasn't even on it. I got two gals who were teaching how to sell on eBay up in Long Beach to come down to the studio and do it.
We're talking about 2002, correct?
Yes, we are. And it wasn't that good, so I had to kind of take bits and pieces of theirs and put a male voice on it and my voice on it, doing narration and stuff. Same day I sent the demo to eBay, I also sent one to United States Postal Service and Entrepreneur Magazine. Boys and girls, the very next day, eBay called. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Said, we want you to fly up to San Jose and talk to us about the radio show. Flew up to San Jose, and they sat me in this big conference room, and there were all these people sitting around the table talking to me. And the guy said, when we start the radio show, this guy's going to be the host, and in walks Griff.
And it was Kevin McSpadden.
It was Kevin McSpadden.
I was walking down the hallway, and he said, come here, I think you'd find this interesting. I had no idea what he was talking about.
In walks Griff, and my radio heart pounded, boom, 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 because Griff had a beard, he was hip-looking, and he was funny, and I thought, this guy is going to make a fantastic host if they accept this proposal. So anyway, we had given them A, B, or C proposals. I won't go into what they were. And Kevin said, we're going to pick proposal D. And I said, what is that? He said, I want it to start soon. Da-da-da. I was like, I went back on that plane, Griff. I couldn't believe my luck.
Your head was spinning.
Oh, my God. It was so big. It was so big. Anyway, I wanted to tell that story of how I met Griff. And of course, he's the perfect radio host. He's
funny. Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
He's knowledgeable. He's got a good voice. No, you were fantastic.
We had a good time.
We did have a good time.
And it morphed over the years. I remember it started out as just a single show, and then we added a second show on Thursdays that was Ask Griff and Lee, just asking us questions.
Oh, and I wasn't waiting. I'm going to interrupt you just a moment.
What? What's that?
I did not suggest myself as the co-host of the show.
No, I remember I did.
You did. And I thought, okay, because what you said to me at first, you said, could you just be with me there the first couple of times in case I need somebody to talk to? I said, sure. And then on the third show, you asked me to be your permanent co-host. And I was overjoyed.
I had no experience. And I realized doing it that the worst, in my nightmare, and it still is to this day, is doing a radio broadcast or a podcast on my own. I hate not having somebody there to talk to. I like it when it's a dialogue. And of course, over time, it's been shown that the reason why people tune into most podcasts and they get popular is it's always more than one person having a conversation, and you're eavesdropping into that conversation. So it's important to have at least two people.
Of course, and we did it as a talk show. People called in.
Right, exactly. A talk show. And we try to mimic that now with the podcast, but it's difficult. I kept the old number. You remember the 888-723-4630, which is the eBay radio hotline. We still have that number, but it goes now to voicemail. And we pick up calls that way and we meet sellers who we can then arrange to have on and record them. But yeah, that was an aspect I realized early on that I was not interested in doing this alone. I couldn't stand the thought of just me talking, although you wouldn't know it to know me. But I think it's more interesting when you have the people.
It definitely is. And at first, when I told my buddies in radio, oh, I'm doing eBay radio on the internet, they snubbed their noses.
Really?
Oh, internet. Well, back in the day.
Oh, of course, yes.
Who ever thought this was going to happen? They snubbed their noses. Within 3 years, they were calling me, asking me for gigs.
Of course.
There you have it.
That's the life of a pioneer, Lee. Have you not figured this out yet?
Yes, I have. I have. I'm proud of it. I am.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm sorry about this AI snafu. Hopefully, this will play out in your benefit.
Well, like I said, for me, Griff, being semi-retired, half the time, I don't even go look for the auditions. They come in the mail, in the email. I don't even go there. Because John and I may want to do something else, though, Dee. So I'm truly semi-retired, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
That's good to hear.
So let me ask you one last question.
What's that?
How do you think eBay has changed since 2018 when I left?
Oh, since 2018. Well, that is a good question. And I think the biggest change since 2018 was a refocusing back on what makes eBay special, unique, what made it popular. And that's that person-to-person marketplace with the unusual, the hot, the trendy, the collectible, the rare, the kooky. And so it's a good thing.
One of the most rewarding things that I found about eBay Radio was that it was a business show. Teaching people how to become entrepreneurs on eBay. We watched people started from selling 6 items out of their garage, their kids' old clothes, to becoming a real business. And that was exciting for me.
It's still exciting. And we still meet a lot of young people who come on and start a business on eBay. I think there are more challenges as the business and as online marketplaces have matured. So it used to be really easy to go to a thrift store and find a bunch of good pre-owned clothing and then make a market of it. But that competition is so stiff now that you really have to be focused and you really have to, it takes work. And I think that's the big change, at least in that particular aspect of people who arbitrage or, you know, resell goods, that the competition has made it not as easy to make an initial killing, but it's still possible to make a business. You just have to stick with it. And that's what we try to continue from eBay radio days into the podcast, is helping people figure out how to utilize the tools and services that are available on eBay to help them along from the starting point of a business to the managing and then growing it so that you can realize your dream of having your own business and having it be successful, being self-employed.
I love it.
I do too. Well, Lee, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your semi-retirement to come talk to us.
Oh, yes. Life is good here in San Diego.
Yeah, it's pretty good in Southern California. People complain, but we don't because we like it here.
Yep.
Well, thanks again, Lee.
Okay, sweetie. And thank you for coming to my 60th birthday party. I appreciate
60th?
It.
60th? Oh.
I really appreciate it, honey.
Well, I look forward to your 61st.
Okay, great.
I'll be there. Lee Mirabal was our co-host on the eBay radio show for 15 years from 2002 to 2018. She is responsible for creating my career, so that's a good thing. And if you're interested in talking to her, you can reach her at lee@voiceoverlee.com. Maybe you want her to do a voiceover for your business. Hey.
Hey, you never know.
You never know.
You got questions?
Of course you do. And guess who has the answers? We got the answers. And Brian, our first question this week was sent to podcast@ebay.com, as so many of them are, by eBay seller Ricardo. And I thought maybe, in keeping with tradition, you might read this one first.
I'd be happy to, Griff. Ricardo writes, "Dear eBay podcast team, I have almost zero experience selling at eBay. I hope you can help me determine how to resolve the following issue. I sold an item and the buyer paid through eBay. I did not have the option of local pickup, but the buyer wanted to pick up the article because he lives in the area and the item is heavy. What is the best practice if you would not like to be scammed? Thanks in advance for your response, Ricardo.
Oh, Ricardo. I think your instincts are right. Don't you think so, Brian?
I think so.
Yeah. Because if you don't offer local pickup in the listing, the option isn't going to be available to you or the buyer as a fulfillment option for the item or the article.
The article. Ricardo would have to have added it as a shipping option when he created the listing.
That's right. And he could just oblige the buyer's request, as I think some sellers do, and have him come by. He's paid for it. You'll pick up the item. But this entails some risk.
It does. The risk of allowing the buyer to pick up the item that was not offered as local pickup is that the buyer can later submit an item not received case. If the buyer paid you through eBay, you could lose that payment. And if the item was picked up, you would be out the item and the money.
That's right.
This is a risk and not a certainty, but you would have to determine if you're willing to assume that risk.
And the other risk, Ricardo, is that the item will never show up as having shipped. So you will take a hit for tracking uploaded on time and shipped on time.
So Ricardo, our advice is that you cancel the sale and relist the item with a local pickup option for shipping. If the buyer is already paid, the cancellation will refund his payment.
That's right. Then I want you to read the eBay help page for information on how local pickup works. Just go to help and contact. It's a link on the top of any eBay page. Click it. And then in the search box on the top, just type the words local pickup. And that'll take you to the page.
And we'll put the link in the help page for local pickup in the episode link section of the episode notes for episode 251. And that was a lot of episodes. Episode links, episode notes, and episode 251.
Well, we'll have to talk to the scriptwriter about that, Brian. Our next question was sent in by seller Nathan to podcast@ebay.com. I think you might like this one. Nathan writes, "Hey guys, I've been listening since last summer and have appreciated the information. And I will add, even if it's not always correct, currently experiencing a situation and wondering what the best way to handle this would have been. We had someone buy an item Sunday, but I'm not going to be able to ship it until Wednesday. So I either faced a cancellation or a late shipment. I reached out offering a refund on the shipping to compensate for the delay, and the buyer said that was fine. Then I found out today that it might not get shipped until this weekend. It's a $9.75 pair of shorts, so my plan is to refund the whole $13.60 and still send the shorts. I'll get a late shipment, but hopefully a really satisfied customer. By the way, could you send me a Tumblr? Signed, Nathan."
It'll compensate for the cost of the shorts.
Yeah. So, Nathan, I'm assuming you've already done this because this email was sent in a while ago. I think he's actually done this. What do you think?
I think it's commendable. I mean, his offer to the buyer is appropriate, and it definitely goes above and beyond what's expected, I think, by a buyer.
Yeah. So, if I was a buyer and you did this, I'd be really delighted, and I might want more stuff for free. What?
I have questions for Nathan, though.
What are they?
Well, at first he said, hey, he was going to not be able to ship it until Wednesday, even though the order came in. But then for some reason, it wasn't able to be shipped until the weekend, or was it Friday? Is he not shipping? Like, does he have somebody else shipping on his behalf, or what held up the shipping?
I think I know the answer because this question was also posted in our eBay for Facebook group, and Nathan alluded to the reason. I don't think it's my place to actually expose the reason, but it had something to do with health.
It was an appropriate reason.
Yeah, very appropriate.
It wasn't like he was drop shipping or things like that.
So imagine if you would, that you get the news that you may need to stay. Well, let's say a hospital for a certain period of time, and then that stay was extended. I think that may be an example of what might have happened here.
Makes sense.
Have I been noncommittal enough?
You have been noncommittal enough.
Thanks.
And I think he was proactive too, which is really important. He reached out to the buyer, let the buyer know. That was really a good move on his part. And my assumption is the buyer probably would have accepted 50% off on the shorts or something. Going all the way to 100% refund was above and beyond.
And when you think about it, he did make the point that it was a $10 item and $5, $6 for shipping. What's the big loss here if you're a regular seller? You can easily absorb that, write it off as a loss. And I think in this case, there's so much going on here to unpack that what was going on in Nathan's mind, probably was, I want to do a good thing. I want a satisfied customer. I may not be doing really well at the moment for some reason, but let's make somebody else's life easy. So Nathan, you're now Saint Nathan to me. That's all I can say.
And Griff, you just touched on one other thing that I think is important for the sellers out there to think about. A lot of our sellers would look at that and say, that's a $16 loss. But the reality is, you've kind of made an expense out of it by doing what you've done. So you should talk to your tax person to say, how can you actually take that as a loss where it's not necessarily a $16 loss for you?
Or you can look at it as an investment in a customer.
Customer support. Yep.
Will that customer come back and buy? There's no guarantee. No guarantee. But for this particular transaction, you've done the right thing. I think you've done above and beyond the right thing. And we mention this a lot. I think it bears repeating now, which is when it comes to assessing the success or profitability of your business, it's not the single transactions that matter. It's what the business does over a period of time, be that a quarter, be that a half a year or a year. And I think it is a natural thing for a lot of sellers to get hung up in the individual transactions and worry them to death. And it's not necessarily a good business move.
Yeah. And actually, I'll bring back kind of some things that I saw in Salt Lake City, especially two really large sellers that I went to. Trust me, they're not looking at individual transactions. And you see their return volume, and you see they offer free returns and the amount of shipment stuff. It's the cumulative effect of all of those transactions that they're focused on, not one at a time.
And I know there's a tendency when faced with that information for very small volume sellers to say, well, I'm not a big seller. I'm a small seller and I can't do that. Well, you can, but you have to plan for it. It should be a part of your business plan. No business everywhere is going to have 100% profitability on every single transaction. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen to any business, right. No matter what the size, no matter what it is you're selling or what service you're providing.
And as you've mentioned in the past, it's a bit of a mindset of shifting from, hey, I'm a casual seller, to I'm actually operating a business.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that mindset of saying, well, I'm a hobby casual seller, I'm a small seller, I don't have to do X, Y, or Z, I think it's dangerous. And the reason why it's dangerous is it's not eBay. Stop thinking that eBay cares that much. We want you to be successful. But it is from a buyer's perspective. Buyers aren't thinking, I'm willing to take a less than adequate service because you're a hobby seller or because you're a small business. No buyer thinks that way, really. Maybe there's buyers who are also small sellers who think that way, but the vast majority of buyers do not make a distinction in what service level they're getting based on upsellers' volume or size. It's really important to plan for that. Well, Nathan, once again, you're Saint Nathan to me. I bow down to you. You're an example to everyone.
Well, we'll see if our last question of the week can top Nathan's.
Okay.
It was a topic that will likely interest a few sellers.
Ooh.
It's from eBay seller David, and it was sent to podcast@ebay.com. I follow quite a few sellers on YouTube, and I see it come up quite a bit for sellers getting scammed by a buyer, sending back an item that they removed apart from, replacing their broken item with the item that was shipped, taking out a DVD of the case and reporting it came empty, etc. And yes, I understand that it is considered a cost of doing business and is going to happen. However, I think eBay could help mitigate this. Fortunately, I have not experienced this. However, if I'm selling a higher dollar item, I think it would be helpful to have some sort of buyer rating that only sellers could see once the item is purchased. I know we as sellers are able to report poor buyers, but even if they are a poor buyer, on their profile it can show 100% feedback, making it hard for other sellers to determine if they are selling to a reputable buyer. I have seen some scammers have 100% positive feedback with the positive review saying negative review, not a good buyer. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Thanks, David. And I'm going to let you go first because I have to take a couple of breaths and relax first.
Exactly. David, I think you've been selling on the site for a while. And if you've been following the progress or the life journey of our feedback system, eBay has become less and less dependent on that system as a method for either determining a member's worthiness. For example, sellers, we don't use feedback to determine anything about your standing or performance metrics. And we remove the ability for sellers to leave negative comments or neutral comments for buyers. Oh, God, how long ago? 2008?
2008, 15 years.
15 years now. We're never going back to that. I understand your suggestion about a feedback system that only sellers can use. I want you to think about that long and hard and determine if that would be a smart thing. It wouldn't, because buyers would know there was such a thing and they're not going to be happy about that. We need to address this right off. We're not going to change the feedback system to make it a system where you can report to eBay or to other sellers the potential or possible alleged abuse of a buyer. And although it's not possible to leave negative feedback seen or unseen for buyers, and I got to tell you, we did not make this change in 2008 lightly. There were really good reasons why we had to end that option.
There were.
And boy, if you could see the numbers, I can just say this. Brian and I and David and everyone else, you wouldn't be here talking about eBay. eBay would have ceased to exist after a point because buyers were leaving the site in droves. And I mean droves, like unsustainable. And the reason they were giving, right, the reason they gave us was they were getting unfair ratings from sellers. So that's that end of it. But you do have options, and you know this because you already talked about one. A seller can and should report any buyer. If they sent a return back for the sale of an item and it's sent back to you in a condition that was not the condition of the item when you sent it out, or it's a completely different item, you can report that buyer. And eBay takes those reports seriously.
That's spot on. And David, once reported, if we determine that a buyer has violated the abuse of buyer policy, we will remove any feedback and defects posted by that buyer, including open cases and service metrics. For abusive buyers, we may also limit the ability to file return requests on the eBay site. In serious cases or repeated abuse behavior, we may suspend the buyer's account.
Right. And that's why it's so important that you report potential or suspected abusive buying activity. You can help us by reporting the buyer. And then during that report, you can clearly describe what they have done or what they are doing. And this will help us investigate potential policy violations and take actions to protect you and sellers in the future. Now, you can find the Report a Buyer link in the drop-down menu next to any sold item on the Orders page in Seller Hub, or you can go directly to the Report a Buyer page. And again, it's an URL. I'll read it once, but I'm going to post it in the episode overview as we do. It's spd.ebay.com/RBA Seller Hub. So that's spd.ebay.com/RBA Seller Hub. And as I said, we'll post that in the episode overview for this episode. You can also view the abusive policy to see what buyer behaviors are not allowed. You can view that abusive policy for buyer behavior. Just go to help and contact and search on the phrase abusive buyer.
And David, there is some recourse for sellers who might have been taken advantage of by a buyer. For instances where an item is returned after it was used or damaged by the buyer, if you are the seller and you offer free returns and you are not below standard, you can deduct up to 50% from the refund to recover the lost value of the item. We will take care of any issues directly with the buyer for you, including removing any negative and neutral feedback, defects, and open cases and service metrics.
Yeah. But we should also mention here, Brian, that even with that 50% allowance, if at any point you ask eBay to step in and help, it doesn't matter at what stage in the process, you're going to lose those protections, so you won't be able to deduct an amount from the buyer's refund. Here's the steps for doing it. It's pretty easy. First, find the item in your returns dashboard, and then select Report a Problem or Refund Now and enter the reason for the deduction that you might put up to 50%. On the next screen, select the percentage, up to 50%. You may want to deduct from the refund amount and add a comment explaining why the refund isn't full. Select Refund Now. I've had to use this twice, if my memory serves me, in the last few years. And both times, it was somebody who bought a sealed, wrapped item and sent it back unsealed and open. And I had mentioned in the description, I will take a return, but if the item is sent back to me open, it won't be a full refund. And in both cases, I deducted a percentage. I don't think it was 50%. And the buyer has no recourse. They can't appeal it.
David, although it is wise for any business to have contingencies in place for dealing with unexpected business obstacles like this one, it sounds like this has not happened to you, and I would not expect it to. Our own data shows that the actual instances of abusive buying, like you've described, is extremely low as a percentage of total transactions on eBay.
And on that topic, I would caution any seller when reading the doom and gloom selling forums out there to keep everything in perspective. Know what to do in case an abusive buyer does show up, but don't plan your business or business perspective around it. And we should mention also that you may be aware of eBay's authenticity guarantee program, which admittedly right now only covers some high-level categories like sneakers and handbags and luxury watches. But that's a program that has the potential to be able to expand into other categories. Will it cover everything on eBay? Not possible, only because of the volume of transactions that happen. But for certain high value, high dollar items, you can expect over time to perhaps see this program expanded into different categories. And that would remove the abusive buyer potential completely from those categories.
Yeah, and I think it's, what, seven categories now, including they just expanded into streetwear?
Yes, streetwear.
Because you're a big purchaser of streetwear, Griff, right?
Yeah, right. You know, since I moved to Palm Desert, I spend most of my day in a bathing suit.
Well, it's kind of a hip place down there, though. If you go out in the evening in downtown Palm Springs, don't you have to be, like, dressed to the nines?
I don't go there.
Okay.
I'm in Palm Desert. It's a half an hour away.
Well, if you have a question about streetwear or returns or anything else or any kind of selling issue on eBay, no matter if it's a hypothetical or an actual, just call us on 888-723-4630.
I think you know that number, but we'll repeat it, 888-723-4630. You can call that number any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment, and if it's appropriate and contains a minimum of obscenities, we just might put it on the air.
If you're not a call-on-the-phone person, email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now, I know you roll your eyes every time this particular segment comes up, but it's short and sweet, so let the eye rolls begin at your three-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
We love to answer questions, but you can save yourself time by first checking the help and contact pages on eBay. Go to any eBay page, click the help and contact link on the top, enter in keywords that relate to your question, and you'll find the most relevant link by topic and all the information to help you understand and get an answer to that question.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we reference during the episode.
Now that's three.
Now, Griff, I think I'm going to insert a fourth.
Oh no, Brian, what is it?
I just want to make sure all of our listeners are aware. Check out events in community.ebay.com for seller meetings. There are 15 local seller meetings hosted by sellers in your area. If there's not one in your area, consider starting your own seller meeting. We will support you here from the eBay side. So just go out to events in community.ebay.com.
Okay, that's a good fourth point. On our next episode, we'll meet up with our chief of staff for the seller experience team, Valerie Yee. And Valerie's going to talk about how eBay rolls out code, watches for code issues, and how you can help report possible bugs and how to stay up to date with your browser so that new code doesn't impact you negatively.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, our good friend from the days of eBay Radio, Lee Mirabal.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.